Jesus said you must be born again and believe in him to be saved. So we're in John chapter 3 now in his verse-by-verse study in the scriptures and the Word of God. Great chapter. I always tell people if you can read one chapter in the Bible, you don't have a lot of time, read John chapter 3. So let's begin here. John chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Let me stop there. So Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee. He was part of the strictest sect of this Jewish religious group. And he was part of the Jewish Sanhedrin. These were the made up of doctors, Levites, and priests. So he was up there. He was in the upper echelon of the Jewish religious body, if you want to call it that. So they believed in the resurrection of the dead. They believed in angels. They believed in spirits. They believed in the coming of the Messiah. You got to keep that in mind. So these people had the Word of God. They would read the scriptures. They had it on scrolls. So they were expecting a Messiah, but there was one problem, and it's a big problem. It's a big but. They did not believe that Jesus was, in fact, the Christ or the Messiah. That's big, folks. So either you believe Jesus is the Messiah or you don't. And this group did not. So here was Nicodemus. He was searching for truth, as you'll see as we go along. Let's go to verse 2. It says, the same, meaning Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. We learn here that he came to Jesus by night. He came incognito, by stealth, okay? He didn't want the rest of the people, his fellow Jewish people, to see him coming. Perhaps that appears to be the case, and I believe it was a smart move. You know, he was searching for truth. He wanted to find out more from Jesus personally. And if you're around people who despise Jesus, it's you're not going to probably be able to get the kind of fellowship or talk with Christ that you want. And that's why he did this. So he came to Jesus. He says, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So he saw the miracles that were taking place, and he knew without question. He said, this is God. And that's why he came to Jesus. But he had a problem. He didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah, so he wanted to search this thing out further. So we go to verse 3 now, and it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And when you see those words, verily, verily, or truly, truly, it's an emphatic statement. It means like listen up, like listen to what is being said here. So that's the way the Lord answered Nicodemus. He didn't just start talking about his miracles. He just got right to the point, cut right to the chase, and he told Nicodemus that a man needed to be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. If he's not born again, he cannot see it. So he's talking about seeing things in the spirit. That's exactly what he's doing. So keep in mind that this is Jesus Christ, the creator of all things, God in the flesh, talking to this leader, this Jewish rabbi, about the things of God. So Nicodemus responded back to Christ. Nicodemus saith unto him, verse 4, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So obviously, Nicodemus was thinking in the flesh, and he was not understanding what Jesus was talking about. Perhaps the term born again, I don't know if it was, some people say that they were the term born again was used in different ways, but it's very simple. It's very clear that as we go along, you'll see that the Lord is talking about a spiritual birth as opposed to a fleshly birth. So this is why Nicodemus responded that way. How can a man be born when he is old? So obviously the physical birth, you come out of your mother's womb, and this is exactly what Nicodemus was talking about hear. He did not understand. Let's go down to verse 5 now. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Glory to God. So we're getting into some deep stuff here, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord makes it clear. He says there's a fleshly birth. So that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Listener, you've been born of the flesh. You were born physically. You came out of the womb of your mother. But then it's a spiritual birth that the Lord is talking about. And hear me now. This spiritual birth is something that needs to happen to you, whether you are Jewish or Gentile. You must be born again. Oh, yes. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You must be born again. You will not, hear me now, you will not be in heaven without the new birth. It is not going to happen. You must be born again. What Jesus is telling this Jewish ruler, this Jewish rabbi, is for Jew and Gentile. The word for you today, listener, is you must be born again. The Lord uses a description here, an illustration about the wind blowing where it listeth or wishes. He says you can hear the sound, but you can't tell where it's coming from. So you look outside sometimes. It could be a balmy day and there's a nice breeze or a wind blowing by. You look at the trees, you'll see them swaying back and forth. And sometimes you'll say, I say it myself, look at the wind. Look at the wind on the trees. Actually, what you're saying is not really correct. You're seeing the effect of the wind because you cannot see wind. The Greek word there is pneuma, okay? P-N-E-U-M-A, spirit, okay? So it's important that you know that the wind bloweth where it listeth. And if you look at the word spirit, that does at the end there, the word spirit, it's the same word that's used, pneuma. So you cannot see the wind. You see the effects of the wind, and it's the same way with the Spirit of the living God. When a person's born again, hear me now, you become a new creation. Folks, you can't be the same. That's why I'm telling you, folks, you must be born again. You must be born from above. And if that doesn't happen, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You've seen signs before. Sometimes you'll see them by electrical places and stuff, areas, and it'll say, do not enter. You cannot enter. No entrance. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes they'll have the skull and bones up there. Don't go in there. You know you're not supposed to go in there. Well, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God without the Spirit of God within your heart. You must be born again. That's exactly what is taking place there. It's something that you need to understand, ladies and gentlemen. So don't forget those words there that I just spoke to you. And then we go down to verse 9. It says, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? So he's still trying to grasp what the Lord is talking about. How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? So look how the Lord dealt with this leader, this religious ruler, this rabbi. Are you a rabbi? Are you a teacher? Are you a ruler and you don't know these things? So it was a gentle rebuke to him. The Lord was dealing with this man's heart. Very interesting. Let me give you some cross references here, ladies and gentlemen, that go along with what we're talking about. If you look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, and you hath he quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. What does that mean? It means a person has been truly born again of the Spirit. You were formerly dead. you were dead in your sins. You were on the way to hell, just like me. So it says now you've been made alive. How are you made alive? You're made alive by the Spirit of God, ladies and gentlemen. That's what that's talking about. So you're formerly dead. You're now spiritually alive in Christ. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Peter 1:23-25. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Hear now. Listen, folks. Peter's talking about how a person is being born again. And he's talking about seed. He says, it's the incorruptible seed. It's by the word of God. When the word of God is preached, folks, hear me. You're preaching the gospel to people. The word is being heard. It goes into the ear gate, okay? And people are hearing what you're saying, and you're coming forth with a message about Jesus Christ. So a person, when they receive that word, they can either believe it or reject it. When a person believes it and receives it and says, yes, I believe this is the truth, they will be born again of the Spirit. Okay, it's nothing to do. Now, keep this in mind. Growing up as a Catholic, we're taught that you're born again when you're baptized as a little baby. That's a lie from the pit of hell. In fact, you're not. You can be an adult baptism. That doesn't save you, folks. That's not how you are born again. This scripture shows you you're born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. And that word goes into your heart, folks. It's when you believe. Oh, yes, that's exactly what that means. So there are many people out there, perhaps you've been baptized, but you've never been truly born again. So this is a critical thing. This is something you need to understand. Oh, yes. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, another cross-reference. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So it's talking about the gospel being hid, okay? And it's hid to them who are lost, ladies and gentlemen. The God of this world, who's that talking about? It's talking about the devil. It's talking about Satan. He blinds the minds. That's what it says here. He blinds the minds of those who believe not. So once again, we see it's a believing or unbelieving the word of God. Don't miss this. It says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I cannot tell you how many times, folks, when I've preached the gospel, if it be on the street or even witnessing one-on-one to people, you'll see distractions coming from the right and the left and up above and everywhere. All of a sudden, because the word of God is being preached and the devil knows that there's the potential for a soul to come into his kingdom. And I learned that early on as a Christian, folks. We are in a war for souls. We're in a battle for souls. You preach that word of God to people, folks, and the devil will try to hinder it and say, oh, no, you don't have to do that. It's not for us today. Oh, God will do it. Listen, God uses people. Yes, it's the Spirit of God, but the Spirit of God uses people to preach the word. That's why the Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Those who believe will be saved. Those who don't believe will be damned. So this is what we're talking about. Romans 2:28-29, another cross-reference. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. It tells us right here who a true Jew is, folks. It's a true Jew is somebody who's been circumcised inside the heart. That is, I'm a true Jew. I'm a spiritual Jew. because I'm circumcised in the heart. I've been born again of the Spirit. So this is Jewish and Gentile. This is what the Apostle Paul is talking about. So you can be a Jew by nature, but not a Jew in the Spirit. That's exactly what that means. Don't ever forget that. Back to John, verse 11, chapter 3. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. So the Lord is still talking to this Jewish ruler, Nicodemus, and he's saying, look, we know what we're talking about. We're speaking through experience. He included his own disciples. He sent those disciples, he sent them out two by two to preach the gospel, to heal the sick and so on. So he's telling Nicodemus, look, we know what we're talking about, but you're not receiving our witness. The witness that we're bringing to you. Verse 12, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? So the Lord is basically saying, look, we're explaining things to you. We're talking about the wind and how it moves and being born of the flesh. But if we're telling you of earthly things, how can we tell you of heavenly things if you don't believe? That's what he's trying to say there. So you know, sometimes, you know, even as Christians, you forget, you know, we try to tell the unbeliever about things that are spiritual, but you can't, you know, it's the Spirit of God that has to open up the eyes. We preach the word and you pray, and that's how it works. You know, I've said to my wife, you know, sometimes trying to tell people about being born again, it's like I used to watch a growing up, that comedy team, you know, Abbott and Costello, and I remember one of the movies, you know, the one with Frankenstein. He was on that revolving door, and every time Lou Costello, you know, would see Frankenstein, he'd start screaming, and you know, then you'd see Abbott come over, and then the door would turn around. So you know, he'd say, "What are you talking about?" And then he'd look, and you know, he wasn't there. Then Abbott would walk away, and then the next thing you know, there's Frankenstein again. And when Abbott came back, the door would turn around, and he wasn't there. So what I'm trying to say is Lou Costello saw something that was there. It was true. Frankenstein was behind that door. So trying to explain that to his buddy Abbott, he couldn't do it because he couldn't see it. So that's how it is, folks. A blind man cannot see. You must be born again of the Spirit, okay? When a person's born again of the Spirit, then they truly understand the things of God. They dig into the Word of God for themselves. But when we preach this Word, the same way I got saved, it's the Word of God. The truth comes into the heart, and people have the potential to be saved. Hallelujah. So this man Nicodemus was trying to understand. If you go further in the Gospel of John, look it up for yourself in John 19, verses 38 to 40. This is after Christ was killed. You will find Nicodemus along with another secret believer by the name of Joseph of Arimathea. He was a secret believer, and they were helping out with the burial of Christ. Nicodemus, old Nick, he ended up gladly paying for the spices that they would use, and then he would wrap the body in linen. So this is something. Here is Nicodemus. That man was searching. Now, does it tell us he got saved? No. Now, this is speculation. Do I think that Nicodemus got saved? Absolutely, I do. But you know, it's not in the scriptures, so that's my own personal opinion. I mean, here was this guy all the way at the end. Glory to God, helping out at another time previously. He didn't think Jesus shouldn't be judged before he was heard. So it's interesting when you find this guy, old Nick, throughout the Gospel of John. Back to John, let's go now to verse 13. It says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Hallelujah. Let me read that again. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. That's speaking about deity, folks. How can Jesus Christ be in heaven when he's standing there talking to this man, Nicodemus? The only way that can be possible is if Jesus Christ is deity, God Almighty. Oh, yes. How can you get around that with that verse? Verses 14 and 15, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Hallelujah. So what's that talking about? And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What on earth does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means. If you go to Numbers 21, you could look it up for yourself. The children of Israel, they rebelled basically against the Lord. They were discouraged, okay? And they started complaining to Moses, you know, saying, you know, why did you bring us out of Egypt? You know, we don't have water and this light bread, speaking of the manna. And they were rebelling against Moses, and ultimately against the Lord. The Lord heard what was going on. And the next thing you know, it says the Lord sent fiery snakes, serpents, okay? These are poisonous snakes to bite them. Think about this, to bite them. And they started dying. So they were killed. The Lord sent the snakes. Think about this. The Lord sent these snakes. They were filled with poison. They started to bite and kill the children of Israel, and not a few of them, folks. So what happened is they realized what was happening and went to Moses, and they said, we have spoken, we have sinned, we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So look at what took place. They recognized that they were sinners, that we have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord. We spoke against you. Pray now that he take these things away from us. What did the Lord do? The Lord told Moses to make a serpent, like in the shape of a snake, made out of brass, and put it on a pole and hold it up. And he said, basically, whoever is bitten, when they look upon that brass serpent, they shall live. Now, that's awesome. So here we have in John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Glory to God. So, folks, it's all about salvation. It's a type of Christ. Isaiah 45 and 22, it says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. So it's the look of faith, ladies and gentlemen. Those people who were bitten, they were going to die. If they did not look at that brass serpent as instructed by God Almighty, they would have died. So it was something that took place in the spirit. It was a look of faith. It's the same thing that saved the thief on the cross, ladies and gentlemen. And I must say here, you know, don't get into worshiping, graven images. You know, some people like to say, aha, see, God uses these things. It was made out of brass, and God, yeah, well, let's go to 2 Kings chapter 18 and see how this was dealt with. Verses 4 to 6, talking about King Hezekiah and how he dealt with graven images, including this brass serpent that was made by Moses. 2 Kings 18, 4 to 6, he removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made, for unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. Glory to God. What did he do with that serpent, that brass serpent that the Lord had Moses make? He cut that thing into pieces. He chopped that thing up. He says, you ain't going to be worshiping this thing. It's nothing but idolatry, folks. And if you're still worshiping statues, I don't care if they're made out of wood, plaster, brass, or anything else, get them out of your house before it's too late, folks. You're sinning against God. Okay, back to the Gospel of John. Let's go verses 16 to 18. some of the most powerful words in the scriptures, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten son of God. Hallelujah. Here it is, folks. You know, the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ, it was presented to this Jewish man, this ruler named Nicodemus, and it's for all people. Hear me now. There's no postponement for the Jewish people. You know, people say, well, the church is going to be raptured and then God will deal with Israel. Listen, take this to the bank, folks. God dealt with Israel right then and there. He's been dealing with Israel ever since. There is no later dealing. You either turn to Christ or you don't. You're either born again of the Spirit or you are not. The offer for salvation has been going forth to close to 2,000 years. Salvation in Jesus Christ, it's offered to all people. Oh, yes. I mean, it couldn't be any clearer. It's an insult to the gospel to say, oh, no, this, the God will deal with the Jews later and this is going to happen. No, God deals with people the same way. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. That's what Paul preached, by the way. No difference. We're all one, folks, in Christ, in Christ. So you're coming the same way. It's all about Christ. Oh, yes, it is. Look at this as we close this out. John 3:19-21. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So men love darkness. You know, most people commit burglaries. They break into the houses. When do they do it? In darkness, when nobody's watching. That's when they do it. So people commit crimes most of the time. They try to do it at night when nobody's looking. They do it in darkness. They hate the light, okay? And speaking spiritually, they hate the light of the world, people. They hate the gospel because it exposes their sin. And that's why people don't want anything to do with Christ. They love the things of this world. They love the money. They love everything that goes with it. They don't want to hear the truth. You know, they'll see you preaching. You go to hand them a Bible tract sometimes. They don't want nothing to do with it. They know very often already what's in that gospel tract. So I'm going to end it right there, folks. And you be blessed in the Lord Jesus Christ.